Trying to fist bump my partner right there on the opening of Bid Nerd, your daily nerd on the most Woo-hoo! Interesting cars of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. My name is John Polnick. We record this show from the Container Park in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. If you're ever in Las Vegas, find the flame-throwing praying mantis. Come up to the second floor and say hello. You will not be able to say hello to my partner, Michael D, because when we record this show, he is in San Francisco. Good morning, Michael D. How are you, sir?
Excellent, JP. We have a listener submission today. Mm. Somebody else is doing our job for us. So thank God I can put my feet up.
Right on. Well, what we do on this show, if you are just joining us for the first time, if you're a new nerd, and you're like, what is this all about? What are these dorks? It's not dorks, we're nerds. What we do on this show is we dig through all the automotive enthusiast auction sites like I don't know, Cars and Bids, Bring a Trailer, Marked, sometimes P-Car Market. We dig through all these auction sites. We find the most interesting car of the day. We have a conversation about that car. We talk about all the different things that make that car interesting. We make a prediction as to what we think that specific car will sell for on its respective auction. And then, boom, we time travel. At the end of the episode, we will reveal what actually happened with that auction and tell you if it sold, didn't sell, and for how much. Find out here on this episode of Bid Nerds. Today's Woo-hoo! Car, a good friend of ours and watcher of the show, early adopter.
King of the herd.
And generally all around good peeps, our good friend Michael Buddha, we all refer to him as Buddha. He suggested this amazing 996. He is a 996 owner, but this
exactly.
isn't just any 996. What do we got here, Michael Deeb? Let's get to the car.
Okay, first of all, mad love to Buddha. Thank you so much for for being our friend first and then watching this ridiculous show that we do. Buddha watches the show religiously and then every once in a while throws us a bone. And so check it out. JP, the 996 Turbo GT2 was released in the U.S. in 2002. Our car on Bring a Trailer is a 2001 Japanese market car that earlier this calendar year in 2022 was imported to Calgary, Canada, where it sits on 88,000 kilometers or about 55,000 miles. Now, aside from being just a year older, some other things are really interesting about this particular car. As a Japanese model, it has a ZZZ VIN. It's in Biarritz white, which I don't think Porsche ever brought Biarritz white to the U.S. market. All our whites are Grand Prix white. It has a Kenwood head unit stereo. It has Porsche factory Recaro seats, not the typical sports seat that we see. The car does come with a DME report. But the most interesting thing on this car is option code M449, which means it's a GT2 with cast brakes. So it has yellow ceramic calipers because that was the standard brake on all GT2s. But somebody ticked the option box to get steel calipers, probably with an intention to track the car. Because if you're going to run and wear out your brakes, it's way cheaper to replace the cast iron brakes than it would be to replace the ceramic brakes that would have been normal position. So it's really funny to see how that one unusual option caused so much confusion in the comments on this. Several of the commenters were saying, well, do the ceramic brakes come with the car? And the answer is no, because the ceramic brakes never came on this car because of this unusual option code, something I don't think we've ever seen in the North American market. So, very interesting car, very beautiful car. We all know the GT2 is Porsche's GT turbo car with rear wheel drive. This is the true widowmaker because these early 02, 03, even this 01 car, they don't have a stability program and traction control. These are cars that you could really get into a lot of trouble with if you don't know how to drive. Unbelievable performance, stunning, gorgeous looks in white. Very rare color, I'd say, on the GT2. But what would be the market for a car that isn't 25 years old and somebody possibly shopping for this car in the United States is going to run into all of that, not problems, but just drama and red tape of trying to get that car into the United States. There's a few states in the union where it would be a breeze, like Vermont, or Montana or possibly Washington, JP. I'm not sure. But if you don't already have something set up to bring a car into one of those states, like myself, I live in California. I don't have an LLC in Montana. I can't buy this car. Even if it's a steal, I can't buy this car. There's nowhere for me to register it. So I think that's going to really hinder the value here. And so while Buddha submitted this car, and certainly on looks, it's wow, pow, bam, slam, just spectacular car. I don't know if Buddha read the whole listing because his bid, which I'll get to in a minute, is really high. I don't think we're going to see that kind of retail value for this one because of where it sits in Canada, being a Japanese market car.
Yeah, having those two, I mean, and not just a car from another country, but from two other countries, if you want to bring this into America. Yeah. Now, I mean, it's possible that someone from Canada bids on this car. Are there a bunch of Canadians with a bunch of so that fake money that they have that gets seized all the time? Or are they? I mean, I don't know. What's that?
Sorry, let's throw a bone to Shiftgate, where Shiftgate kind of operates with one foot in Canada and one foot in the United States. Mm. I think this car would have been better served on Shiftgate than it would be on BAT. Even though BAT's audience is massive, I think Shiftgate is really set up to appease or to saturate the Canadian market. That's probably what should have happened here. So shout out to Shiftgate.
In the description of the car, does it mention bumper respray or whatever? Because it sure looks like that bumper is a different color than the hood.
With 55,000 miles on the odometer, JP, I'm going to just go ahead and say you're right. Yeah, for sure.
You know, and, you know, a car like this being from Japan and then Canada, obviously Carfax ain't going to do you a dang bit of good.
Nope.
And did you say that the seats, these Recaro seats, were from the factory?
I believe they are, yeah.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Boy, they look terrible.
I agree,
if I own this car, even if they were a factory, I would take those seats out, put them on a shelf, and get some factory white backed 996 sport seats. Would look so dope in this car. You know, I don't care about the discoloration on the nose, but that would affect, I think, the price, the premium.
And aftermarket coilovers, I forgot to mention. This car, I think somebody changed the coilovers. It's not the factory setup suspension, it's aftermarket suspension. So yeah. I think somebody tracked the hell out of this car. It's possible that those seats aren't factory. I don't know what they sold in Japan, but the steel brakes is really interesting. And so somebody went and had fun with this car. The over revs, the DME report, I read it. Spoiler alert, this car is used. It's got like 3,000 over revs in zone one. So this car got driven, you know? And that's what it is. It's just a used, beat-up GT2. Have fun. Who cares?
This car reminds me, you know, our good friend Yuri had that white GT2. I mean, it was the same car. And that one had more track stuff on it.
Totally.
And, you know, just a year and a half ago, all they wanted for that car was like $80,000. We're kind of like, I don't know. But now
should've bought it.
Taken off like bonkersville. This particular car, though, I know not just one, but two people who are dealing with Japanese import Porsches and are having massive problems with getting title situations sorted out. So
it's not easy.
It is, the struggle is real. You know, Canada, I mean, I think some provinces in Canada, they don't even issue titles for cars. It's more about a registration thing, and it sits in a database. It's like really weird. I don't understand Canada at all. Canada is a weird, weird foreign world. We should just invade them and make them a state. Just drive over there.
Just drive over there.
What do you think? I mean, what's going to happen in this auction? Is it a no reserve? Is there a reserve? Do we know?
There is a reserve because it doesn't say no reserve. But this week, JP, we've got some doozies, like cool cars, but like really tough to kind of figure out the value. So again, Buddha's bid, and I'll give it to you just so we can see, like he said $210,000. And I think all he's looking at is that it's a white GT2. And if that were the case, maybe, you know, we covered one last week, John. You remember that black car on P car market with 20,000 miles, a little less than half of what this car has, brought $250,000. That car was pristine. There were no issues, no title, no nothing. This car's got weird parts, weird provenance. It's not even in this country at the moment, so it's not even on a domestic title. and you're seeing signs of repaint. There's aftermarket head units and suspension. I mean, possibly the seats are not factory. Who knows? Like, this car is really weird. I unfortunately don't even think it's going to bring half of what Buda brought, but I think I'll use Buda's guess to set my own and go $105,000. God, I don't even feel good about that. I can't do that. I'm making this up as I go, but I'm going to say I actually think, John, this car stalls out at 85,000. It doesn't sell there. The consignor hasn't done enough to get it to the American public. Putting it on B&T isn't enough. Shiftgate could help handle this maybe a little bit better because they're so well versed in import and export. But here on Bring a Trailer, this guy just putting it up with some pictures, that's not enough. I don't think he's going to sell it here this time around. I'm going to say 85,000 failure to sell. What do you think, John? Above or under my bid?
Yeah, boy. I mean, you said 105. I was like, yeah, no, nah. Great six figures.
Nah.
And then you changed it to 85, so you kind of stole my thunder there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with Buddha on loving, you know, a white GT2 just sounds
hell
fantastic.
Yeah.
But this thing, no way in hell this car sells. No way in, I mean, this car is DOA. With all the over revs, I mean, anyone who's sitting there with their wallet getting ready to buy this thing, they're going to read this ad and just be like, no, forget it. Just no way.
Let me read it to you real quick because it's really funny, John. Let me see if I can pull this up while you're talking.
Driving,
but it's,
video. I mean, it's just.
Yeah. Three. I got to make the screen bigger. 34,344. Over revs ignitions in range one, and range two, which is even higher RPM, 514. And those are the only two ranges on a 996 Metzger engine. So 34,000 times this guy has gone past red line.
Did Rami own this thing? I mean, there's only
exactly. This is Rami's ex. This is his bitch.
If you guys know our other one of our other shows in our Bid Nerds ecosystem, check out the Rami show on YouTube. If you want to know what we're talking about, our good
friend Rami
just loves to abuse the hell out of every car that he gets, and he gets some cool ones. But yeah, that's high even for him.
Yeah.
He would have to own the car for 10 years to get that. I mean, that's just nuts.
Seriously.
Buddha, I don't know what you're thinking, my brother. Did you just see the picture of this?
There's no way. He didn't read it.
But I think it's definitely Buddha is spot on pointing out that this is one of the most interesting cars on all the auction sites today.
When he texted it to me, I just saw the thumb of like, here, cover this car. It's a white GT2. And he goes, 210,000. I was like, hey, good guess, you know? And then I did my little thing and I was like, oh, no, Buddha didn't read it because like this car is not worth half that. So there you go. In his defense, yeah.
Spectacularly cool car. I mean, it'd be a great car to track and do all that kind of fun stuff if you could get it for a decent price. But I'm sure whoever owns this thinks it's worth the world.
Yeah.
But we're going to find out.
What's your guess,
before we
John?
Tell you, did I get not give you a guess?
No.
Am I going?
Yeah, over and under.
I'll say 90. I'll say over.
Oh, you're going to go over.
I still think it's FDS, though. I think
my
guess is that this guy has a reserve in the 180 range or something like that. So it'll
even at 90, you'd be over 100 trying to bring it in. To bring it in. And then you still have to figure that out.
Yeah.
So this car is, I agree, DOA.
Not a chance. Do you guys think? Tell us in the comments below right after you hit the subscribe, like, and notification button. I'll say this. I've said it before. We know that there are a lot of you watching the show. We can tell on the whole interweb algorithm doohickey. It tells us that a bunch of you guys are watching, but you're not subscribing. You don't want to be part of the herd? What are you doing?
Get your fist out.
Favor. Come on. Smash the like button. Smash the subscribe button. The subscribe button is the big thing. We need you guys to smash that subscribe button and really help us out. There's a lot of other nerds out there on the internet that don't know about us. Be an early adopter. Spread the word. Share a nerd. Grow the herd. Be part of the Bid Nerds Nation. Let's make this happen. Let's get this channel off the ground. We really need your guys' help. We love doing this every day for you. Here's the deal. How much is this GT2 going to go for? Let's find out right after this. Okay, guys, I want to tell you about Vegas Auto Fest. The Drivers Are Coming. This is one of our big sponsors. It's the biggest car show of the year in Las Vegas. It's one of the coolest car shows you can possibly experience anywhere. If you haven't made plans to be part of Vegas Auto Fest on September 17th, then do it now. Go to VegasAutoFest.com and register your car. You think you're a car enthusiast? Doesn't matter where you live. Plan a trip to Vegas on September 17th and come out and see this show. It's like Monterey Car Week all in a day. Have you ever been to the Quail? Have you ever been to Works Reunion? Have you ever been to Amelia Island? All those car shows are amazing and great. Have you been to Luftcult? Sure, but Vegas Auto Fest is something special. Make a plan for September 17th. We'll see you in Vegas. All right, guys, welcome back to Bid Nerds, your daily nerd out. The most interesting car of the day in all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. You know, Michael Deeb?
What?
I don't know, man. You know, it's been a minute since we just saw our audience. They just watched a commercial, but now it's been a week for us. This car result is pretty surprising, but maybe not. I don't know. Look, we're going to tell you how much this car sold for or didn't in just a second, but make sure you hit the subscribe, like, and notification button if you haven't already.
Smash. Smash.
All right, Michael D., what is this car and what happened with its auction?
I honestly think, so first of all, Buddha sent us this car and got it all wrong because he thought it was going to go for $210,000. He texted me right after the result and he was laughing. He goes, I had no idea it was in Canada, and he goes, I missed all that stuff. So he was laughing. But then you and I were really, shall we say, bearish on it? Is bear good?
Yeah.
Bullish.
Bearish is like, nah, this sucker ain't going to make it.
Oh, bearish is bad? Okay,
yeah.
We were bearish on it. I said 85,000. You said 90. Here's where it gets interesting. The Bring a Trailer community bid this car to $127,000 where it failed to sell. And I would suggest, or I would implore, that the owner of this car in Canada should have taken that money because I don't see how he'll ever get that much for it again. Anyway, it failed to sell at $127,000 on a respectable 30 bids. There was some action, and clearly that number is higher than you and I thought, certainly well under what Buddha thought at 210 grand, haha, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But I don't see where the guy who owns this car is ever going to get 130 grand for this car again, or even 125. He should have taken the money. The reserve was set too high. And I fault Bring a Trailer for allowing him or offering him a reserve higher than even 120 grand or 110. Because, I mean, again, look at what this thing is. This whole thing is a mess. This guy's got a firm grip on this car. And now he's burnt it because he went to the most popular platform and failed to sell there. So wherever he goes to sell it, I don't see him getting as much as the $127,000 he left on the table here. So I think this is, how do we say, John, a soup sandwich. Shit don't work. You know what I mean?
This guy screwed up. He is never going to see this money for this car again. I mean, the economy is showing signs of softening in all kinds of asset classes. You know, now there, it seems like right now, like the really high end stuff is still bringing super big, awesome money.
Yep.
Just last week, we saw a car just like this one bring what could only be, must have been a record, $210,000 or something, like $240,000. But that one was perfect. Perfect examples of cars are still bringing the big money. But the frenzy is over. That's one thing that I could say about the market right now is that, okay, has it softened? I don't think it's necessarily softened. I think it's just become more realistic. People are ready to spend the big, big dollars on stuff that is perfect, you know, something that is a true, genuine collector car. This car is a driver. This car would be absolutely fantastic if you could get it for under 100 grand and track it or tear up the canyons or just, you know, have a GT2 and just have a great time. But this idiot thinking that he's going to get big money for a car that clearly has had repaint and is out of country and all the things that we talked about before the break. What a maroon.
Here's where I'm going to say something nice about P-Car Market. Had this car failed to sell on P car market, it would have immediately wound up in the deal tank. And in that moment, you and I and our audience would have known exactly what this guy was thinking. We would know where the reserve was set, because that's ultimately the price it would wind up for in the deal tank. BAT has no full disclosure like that. So this car failed to sell at 127. Ask me if I'm dying to know what this guy really wanted for the car. I'm so curious. Was he looking for 150? Was he wanting 175 or 200? And where on earth did Bring a Trailer agree to set the reserve for this guy? I'm so curious, and we'll never know. And that's the bummer of this platform, and that's the credit I'll give P-Car Market for coming up with the deal tank idea. At least we get to know what the fool was thinking, and here we don't. So very interesting.
Well, you know, and another thing that sometimes we don't always talk about is that BAT does reserve the right to, if an auction, if the lowest bid is like within 5%, basically, or maybe it's 4%, it's basically their buyer's premium that they charge the buyer.
If it meant to say the highest bidder, right?
Sorry, highest bidder. My bad.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. Sorry, John. Yeah.
Good point. Thanks for clarifying. So the highest bidder, if it's within 4% of what the reserve was, BAT can and sometimes does go ahead and close the sale by making up the difference themselves. And they clearly weren't interested in doing that on this car, which means, you know, at 127, what's 5% more of that? I mean, you're into the buck 30 range or something like that. I mean, no way.
$6,000.
I was thinking, all right, maybe 127, maybe the reserve was 130, and the guy may have been realistic, so they were just right there and it didn't make it. But BAT for a six-figure car would put it over the hump. They want something like this to close. They don't want to see something like this fail to sell.
Absolutely. Listen, all the business they're doing is dependent on their sell-through rate, and that's a major thing. And they're supposed to have experts setting the reserves. And I feel like they missed it on this one, because if you really read the listing and saw the car, there's no way you could have thought this car was, you know, going to sell for whatever they thought it was going to sell for. Like I just feel like they got it completely wrong. You know, not like Buddha at $210,000, but, you know.
Well, you know, certainly, and I really, I feel bad for the bidders, because how many bids were there? There was 30 bids. I don't know how many different bidders there were, but you know, there's a bunch of people thinking that, okay, this here's a realistic car. You know, maybe this is something that could get bought, and maybe this is a good opportunity to get a value and something. Maybe I can actually drive a GT2. Maybe it's just, it's not a car that's like completely out of reach now.
John. You bring up such a good point. Look, so much of this, and I think why maybe even our show could be called slightly compelling, is there's so much fantasy involved, right? Let's talk about this guy that bid $127,000 on this roached out GT2 in Canada with steel brakes and Recaro seats and a bad stereo and 100,000 miles on it. For 2 minutes while the clock is going down and nobody else bid, he's thinking he bought the car. He's thinking $127,000 for this piece of junk. He goes, I'm buying a Grand Prix white. Actually, it wasn't even Grand Prix white. What was the name of this color? It was stupid. It was Biarritz white. Biarritz, he's thinking he owns this car. And then the clock goes, and like 3 seconds later, it goes, unsold at this price, bid to $127,000. And he's going, no, like, are you kidding me? He goes, he's probably thinking, what is it going to take to buy this car? Like, how close was I? So he must be super frustrated. I'm sure they reached out to him and then offered him the car at 150, and he's going, no way, absolutely no way. Because if they offered it to him at 130 or 136, like you said, they would have just closed the deal, because it would have been in that 4%, 5% range. But not the case here. I think that everybody got this one wrong. So Buddha, thank you so much for the submission. Certainly one of the more controversial and hilarious lots that we've covered in a while. This one is a mess.
What do you guys think? Tell us in the comments below right after you hit the subscribe, like, and notification button. Share this episode or another Bid Nerds episode. Let's get the word out, guys. Let's get some more people in the nerd herd. Come on.
Yeah. And let's also condemn BAT. Whatever the reserve was, why weren't they taking into consideration it's going to cost $10,000 to get this car across the border because it's not 25 years old? Don't get me started.
Yeah.
Like, you got to take.
Don't get you started. This whole episode is about this car. I'm trying to end it, and I'm not trying to get you started. I'm trying to get you end it.
90%.
goes nerd!